Wasn't that a lovely item? To give thanks for what God has done for us each one. And we need to do that, don't we? To remember what God has done for us each one. Before we open God's Word, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your Word this morning, as we sit at your feet, that your Holy Spirit will come in and abide and talk to our hearts, that we will listen, that we will learn, and that we'll grow to be more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There are many prayers in the Bible which tell a story. And sometimes we know the story more than the prayer. And in the case of the prayer we're looking at today, we know the story surrounding the prayer, but we hardly ever look at the prayer. And so for the day, I want to consider with you the prayer that Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel. So if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we simply read this prayer. We go to verse 36. And we read these words. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trenches. Here we have a prayer that we all know very, very well. We know the story about this prayer, surrounding this prayer. But today I want to look at this prayer itself. For in it, there are principles, there are lessons that we would each do well to learn. In verse 36, it is interesting how Elijah begins his prayer. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Here we find that Elijah is very careful in how he addressed God. And it is interesting how this greeting in the prayer was something that was not new. The greeting was a greeting that was much recognized. It was greatly known. Exodus chapter 3. We're using our Bibles this morning, Exodus chapter 3. Come with me there. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 6. verse 6. He said, "Moreover, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Familiar words. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Verse 13. "Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac." Identical greeting. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. And again in verse 5, "that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob had appeared unto thee." Come to Matthew now. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Pick it up in verse 29. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection are neither married, nor given into marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Here you got this same phrasing being used. The term was well known. It was known, it was seen as a mark of respect that was due only to God. It was used as the mark of identity. Common language was not being used here. And you'd ask the question, but why? Why was this so special? Why was the way they addressed God done in such a special way? It was done for a very good reason. Reasons that perhaps we need to remember. Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, verse 11. Exodus 15, verse 11. "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse 2 says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Psalms 86. Psalms 86. 8 to 10. Psalms 86, 8 to 10. "Among the gods there are none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone." Psalms 99. Psalms 99. Verse 1 and 1 to 3. "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved." The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. When Elijah prayed, he was reminding them that God is still real. And when the fire came down from heaven, it was to prove this point in a very real way. We say that we are past this time, that the rules perhaps no longer apply. But what about the prayer that Jesus took? How does that one begin? Our Father, which art what? In heaven. What is the unspoken message? Where is God? In heaven. Can we relate to heaven, really? No. Can we even understand it? No. So how dangerous it is that we try and make God any less than what he is. We need to remember respect. Great respect. And hold too often we like to think that we can sometimes change the rules. But that is dangerous. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Come with me there. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, we begin with these words. I am the Lord. I what? Change not. God does not change. God does not have to change. Because he gets it right every time. But you know, there is something else we can perhaps need to appreciate about the one who we pray to. While we need to remember respect, and it's true, but there are other positive things about God that we can hang on to. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The one who we worship, the one who we pray to, God is always merciful. Merciful. God is also compassionate. God is compassionate. God is faithful. Very faithful. And when Elijah prayed to God that day, I'm sure that he would have been aware of the other qualities that are hidden in God. That God is wanting to save more than he is wanting to destroy. And if that being the case, then why should we not be willing to come to him and to give to him the respect that is due to his name. Come with me back to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. After giving God the respect that is due, Elijah then makes a point where he says, "Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word." Here Elijah is reminding God to show the people who he is. That he has been faithful. And that really, Lord, your name is on the line. Here Elijah is putting the story as it is. And we say, "Elijah, you're a brave person." But is he? You see, when you know someone well, you should be able to put your case, should you not? And Elijah did know his heavenly Father well and was confident in putting that case. What about us? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We have an interesting couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we read here, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Then it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." If we know the Lord, we should be able to come to him and put our case. If we know him well, we should be able to come to him with confidence, knowing that he will hear us. Because the verse that we read first off says that we have a high priest who can what? Relate to what we're going through. We have a high priest who knows what it's like. And so we are told, come boldly. To come boldly means to come with confidence, knowing that Jesus can, will hear us. But of course, it requires knowing him. It requires knowing him. 1 Kings 18. First Kings 18. In verse 37, Elijah says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again." Here we have the request. Here Elijah puts the request, "Lord, please hear me. Hear me." Have you ever made that request for God to hear you? Have you ever felt that God maybe wasn't hearing you and you say, Lord, I want you to hear me. Hear me. Interesting, in the Bible, different people have made that request. Psalm 17. Come with me to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Here we have a prayer of David, this whole psalm. But in verse 6, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O Lord. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. David is putting the request. Please, Lord, hear me. Incline thy ear. Listen to me. Listen to me. Psalms 84. Psalms 84. Again the request is made. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Salah. And again in Psalms 54. In verses 1 and 2 we read, Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Hear me. Hear me. Does God hear? Is God interested when we pray? Come with me to Zechariah. Zechariah. Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13. In verse 9. And I will bring the third part with a fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call upon my name, I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. I will hear. Zechariah 10. Zechariah 10. And in verse 6 I read, And I will strengthen the house of Judah. And I will save the house of Joseph. And I will bring them again to place them. For I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I have not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God. I will hear them. Isn't that beautiful? The promise that God will hear. God will hear. As we read these verses, what is being promised? Think about it. We are being promised that we can be strengthened. We will be strengthened. We shall be saved. We shall come to a safe place. There is mercy. We are not cast off. We shall be heard. What wonderful things are promised to us each one. That we worship such a person who can do such mighty acts for us each one. And because Elijah had taken the time to know his Father in heaven, He was able to put his request to him with confidence that God would hear him. 1 Kings 18. And what was the result? 1 Kings 18, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. What a result for Elijah that day. That God would hear him, that the fire came down from heaven and consumed the entire sacrifice that was there. It was a brutal display of the power of God, but the effect it had on the people was very real. In verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." You know, we may never need for God to give such a terrible display of His power. But if you needed Him to do it for you, would you have enough confidence to put the request? Would you have a deep enough relationship with Him to put that request? Elijah knew Him so well that he had confidence to put the request to God that God would hear him. And God did hear him. And for each of us, the challenge is that we know our Heavenly Father. Yes, He may be in heaven, but He wants to hear from you today. Yes, He demands respect, but the respect is born out of love. And remember, it is easy to respect someone when you love them. Take the time to know your Heavenly Father. Know Him. Pray to Him. Talk to Him. Share with Him all that is on your heart. Share with Him the pain you are going through. He will hear your cry. Remember, He is only a prayer away. He was only a prayer away for Elijah. He is no further away for you today. What a wonderful friend we have. What a wonderful God we have. And He is there, wanting to hear from you today. And as we communicate with Him, as we get to know Him, we will have peace. Everlasting peace in our heart. Dear Heavenly Father, as we know You, as we deepen our relationship with You, may we come to have that peace which only You can give. As we leave this place, dear Lord, May you go with us and abide with us through the week that lies ahead. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.